The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew Podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from the same book and chapter of Marcus Aurelius' Meditations that we did last episode, but I wanted to do it again because I had an afterthought at the very end of that episode, which really deserved to be its own episode. So we're going to read the whole thing again, but we're only going to focus on one part of it. So this is from Book 5, Chapter 1. At break of day, when you are reluctant to get up, have this thought ready to mind. I am getting up for a man's work. Do I still then resent it if I am going out to do what I was born for, the purpose for which I was brought into the world? Or was I created to wrap myself in blankets and keep warm? But this is more pleasant. Were you then born for pleasure, all for feeling, not for action? Can you not see plants, birds, ants, spiders, bees, all doing their own work, each helping in their own way to order the world? And then you do not want to do the work of a human being. You do not hurry to the demands of your own nature. But a man needs rest as well. I agree, he does. Yet nature has set limits to this too, just as it has to eating and drinking. And yet you go beyond these limits, beyond what you need, in your actions only this is no longer so. There you keep inside what is in your power. The point is that you do not love yourself. Otherwise, you would love both your own nature and her purpose for you. Other men love their own pursuit and absorb themselves in its performance to the exclusion of bath and food, but you have less regard for your own nature than the smith has for his metalwork, the dancer for his dancing, the miser for his money, the exhibitionist for his little moment of fame. Yet these people, when impassioned, give up food and sleep for the promotion of their pursuits, and you think social action to bring a small return and to be less worthy of effort? Okay, so the line I want to focus on is the point is that you do not love yourself, otherwise you would love both your own nature and her purpose for you. So at the end of the previous episode, I talked about how Marcus Aurelius and Shlomo HaMelech both make similar arguments in that they are trying to get you to act in your own best interests, but whereas Marcus Aurelius takes the noble road, which is what I called it, appealing to the purpose of man, Shlomo HaMelech takes the road of self-interest in terms of pleasure and pain. In other words, Mishlei motivates its students by saying, you will maximize long-term pleasure and minimize long-term pain if you follow Chachma, if you follow wisdom. So I wanted to elaborate on that point, and I actually wanted to bring more support from Mishlei itself, but I want to get there through a circuitous route, okay? So I have a Facebook album called Book Review Experiment, where I started this in the summer, and I review books that I've read, and I sometimes post excerpts or my thoughts about it. So over the summer, I read part of a book, one-third of a book, I think, by Dr. Theodore Rubin, called Compassion and Self-Hate, An Alternative to Despair. And in my book review, I quoted the following passage. He writes, actual self here refers to who we are rather than distorted versions of who we think we are or who we would like to be. These versions are in themselves a very important part of the self-hating process. Any distortion of self, either in degradation or idealization, must be viewed as a rejection of actual self and is therefore self-hating. Thus, exaggerated opinions as to one's abilities are self-hating. Minimizing and ignoring one's abilities are no more, no less self-hating. Rejection of reality as regards self, whatever form it takes, is always self-hating. Distorting reality, whatever form that distortion takes, always makes for destructive repercussions in terms of actual self. End quote. So he is, okay, so I'm trying to think what order to go in here. So I was asked a question by Rabbi Feinerman, who said, a question on that excerpt, which was, Rabbi Feinerman wrote, if I think of myself as better or worse than I actually am, it is by definition a distortion. But why self-hating? Why hate? So in other words, Rabbi Feinman is questioning why Dr. Theodore Rubin takes this notion of a distortion vis-a-vis the self and frames it in terms of self-hate. You know, hate has a very, very strong connotation of, I don't know, I mean, you replace the word hate with any synonym, animosity, desire to destroy. Right. And just because I have a distortion doesn't mean that I am hating myself, does it? So how can Theodore Rubin have this very seemingly extreme stance on self-hate? So I answered his question. I answered Rabbi Feinerman's question by with a theory, which was that The Rambam in the first chapter of Shmona Prakim says that all emotions can be grouped under two categories, yearning and disgust, which in the Hebrew translation of the Aramaic is teshuka and mi'us. So for example, maybe better words for that are attraction and repulsion. So, you know, love is an emotion of attraction. Friendship is an emotion of attraction. Greed is an emotion of attraction. Whereas fear is an emotion of repulsion and hate and anger. So in other words, it could just be that he's expanding it to that Theodore Rubin is expanding the concept of hatred. He's trying to broaden the concept of hatred to anything that is against the self. And when he says self-hatred, he means you're doing actions that are against the self. But I was thinking about it some more, and I remembered that at the end of chapter 8 of Mishlei, there are two psukim, which read as follows. This is chapter 8, psukim 35 and 36. And this is chachma, wisdom, talking in a personified way. Ki motzi'i matzah chayim v'yafek rotan me'ashem. For one who finds me has found life and will derive favor from Hashem. V'chot'i chomes nafsho. Kol misana'ai ahavu maves. One who sins against me does violence to his soul. All who hate me love death. Okay, so, which is very similar, by the way, to Marcus Aurelius's Meditations 2:6, where he says to himself, you are doing yourself violence, violence my soul, and you will have no second occasion to do yourself honor. So the question is, what does it mean, what does Shlomo HaMelech mean when he says, those who find me have found life and will derive favor from Hashem, and those who sin against me, sin against Chachma, against wisdom, do violence to their soul, and then all who hate me love death. You know, especially that last part seems very hyperbolic. So let me just read here. The Mefarshim take similar, the commentators take similar approaches here, but I'm going to read from the Rabag and the Meiri. So the Rabag says on the phrase, those who sin against me do violence to their soul. He says, "Vasher choteli, someone who sins against me, shelo yelech b'musari, who does not follow my discipline, the discipline of wisdom, lehis yasher lahasagasi, to straighten himself out in apprehending me, who oshik hashlemus minafsho, he is robbing perfection from his own soul. V'chomish yisne osi, anyone who hates me, which means v'yarchikeni, and who distances himself from me, from chachma, from wisdom, who ohev hamaves v'hahefzat hamuchlat, he loves death and absolute loss, definite loss. Ke'elav darcho, because that's the way he is trending, that is where his path is leading. L'fi mish yisna hatvuna, yisna gamkein hachachma, v'zeh bilti tzarech elbir. So he says someone who hates understanding also hates wisdom, and this doesn't need an explanation. And the Meiri, in a more concise way, on the phrase, kol masanai ahavu maves, all who hate me love death, says, klomar, miskarvim ileha ki'ilu ahavuha. What does it mean that those who hate me love death? It means that those who make themselves draw near to it, to death, ki'ilu ehavuha, it's as if they love it. Okay, so what does all this mean? So what it means is like this, is if you follow chachma, if you follow the way of wisdom, so what are you doing? You are bringing yourself life. You are bringing yourself life, a good life in this world, in terms of decisions that will yield long-term beneficial outcomes, and you're distancing yourself from long-term detrimental consequences. And because you're attaching yourself to wisdom, you're also bringing yourself true life, life in the world to come, because you're perfecting your soul. But if you are neglecting a life of wisdom, so what are you doing? You are bringing yourself closer to death, and death here meaning bad consequences and imperfections of the soul. So when he says you love death, it doesn't mean that you consciously have some sort of death wish or that you are, you know, metaphysically suicidal. What he means is that the path that you are on is one which leads to death. So you have chosen a path that is leading to self-harm. And it would be kind of like if, you know, just again, drawing back on my experience as a high school teacher, we sometimes would have students who were completely capable of success in academics, and they would then do these foolish things like not studying for tests or whatever. And, you know, teachers would ask students like this, why are you sabotaging yourself? Now, when they say that, they don't mean that the student is consciously, intentionally trying to sabotage themselves. They're saying, look at your actions. Your actions are directly undermining your own interests. So in action, you are sabotaging yourself. And that's what Shlomo is saying here, is in action, you love death because you have put yourself on a path where you are bringing yourself harm. And I think that's what Dr. Theodore Rubin means when he is characterizing this as self-hatred. That it doesn't mean that necessarily, if you have a distorted notion of yourself, it does not necessarily mean that you are antagonistic towards yourself, because as he himself mentioned in that excerpt, even an idealization of the self, where you are viewing yourself as greater than you actually are, is what he calls self-hatred. So what does that mean? It means that if you have any distorted view of the self, that's going to lead to a mentality and to actions which ultimately bring about harm to yourself. And so in that sense, you're doing actions which display, which if you look at them objectively without looking at motives, display a trend of self-harm, which he's calling self-hatred. And that is that's the method that Marcus Aurelius is using as well, where he says, the point is that you do not love yourself. Otherwise, you would love both your own nature and her purpose for you. Meaning, if you are not following the dictates of wisdom, whether that be Shlomo HaMelech in Mishle and teaching you how to use Chachma in everyday decisions, or whether that be Stoicism, which is teaching you how to live according to nature and according to your purpose as a human being, or according to Torah, which is a regimen that brings those who practice it properly to true perfection, as the Ralbag says, then you are living a life which is not showing yourself love, you're not engaging in true self-care, and you are, according to Shlomo, loving death. That's it for today's episode. And I want to remind you again, I kind of defaulted into making this into a Q&A because I did enjoy the Q&A. So if you have questions about Stoicism or about Stoicism and Judaism, or even about Judaism that you'd like a little Stoic approach to mixed in as well, feel free to send them to me at rabbishnamo@gmail.com. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/rabbishnaweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at matt-schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are matt-schneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbishnaweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.